Calvary Baptist Church has been about far more than buildings. Long before any of us arrived, faithful men and women stepped forward in faith, making sacrifices so that others could experience the hope that they had found in Christ. I think in terms of legacy, their desire was for us to look ahead and to think about what might be. Our mission is to develop followers of Jesus for life. Our core values are worship, engage, grow, serve, and go. And that's what builds the building that occupies the building. People need to be loved. People need to be reached. People need to be taught. People need to develop their lives as God intended them to develop. But as ministry continues to grow, we've begun to feel the limitations of spaces designed for a different season. Nearly 60 children are being cared for in rooms that were built for 40. Volunteers creatively adapt each week, making the most of every available space. We're grateful for what God has provided, but we also recognize that our current facilities can no longer keep pace with the opportunities that He is placing before us. And I would love to see future generations understand how much God loves them, how much He cares for them, how important their fellow human beings are around them, and that they would embrace their own value as human beings made in the image of God, that they would embrace the value of other people who have been made in the image of God, and that they would love God and serve Him faithfully. The generations before us made room for us. Now we have the opportunity to do the same for those who have not yet walked through these doors. Together, we can make room for the next chapter of what God wants to do through Calvary Baptist Church. Father, I pray that You'd help us now as we think about that a bit more. Would You guide us as a church family? You have been so faithful to do that over the years, and we pray that You'd continue to do that. And as we come to this particular day to think about these things together as a church family, I pray that You'd grant us wisdom and grace and discernment, and help us to rest in Your leadership. Help each one of us really to be listening to You as to what we ought to do, for certainly we are Your body, Your people, the sheep of Your pasture, and we're here for Your purposes. And so we pray for Your help right now as we think about these things together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My text for today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, and I'll get there in just a moment, but let me start by saying this, that where there is health, there is growth. And in the life of the church, where there is health, there is a desire for growth. Our gardens are an example of the connection between health and growth. If we can keep our garden spaces well watered and provide the right nutrients, there's growth that results in fruit and flowers and vegetables. And that was the point. I don't think anybody plants a garden just to have weeds. Some people's gardens do end up looking that way, but that was never the intent at the beginning. There was a desire for something fruitful. The text I pointed out initially is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul wrote, "We are God's fellow workers." That is, we join Him in what He's doing in the world. And then he says, "You are God's field, and you are God's building." You are God's field, and you are God's building. As a church, we're described in the Word of God as a living, growing building that at times occupies a building. A building that occupies a building. Historically, as a local church, when we have been healthy, we have grown. And we have wanted to grow. It's been a part of our DNA, you might say, to change and then to grow a bit more. Now, we haven't always grown because we haven't always been healthy. But when we have been healthy, by God's grace, we've grown and desire to impact more lives. We have some good news as a church. I mean, every local church has good news. I'm not limiting that to us. But as a church, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have some good news to share with people. God's love, Jesus saves, the life that comes both now and forever through him. This is a message that is sorely needed in our world. A little bit of history for those of you that are not aware of kind of where we came from and how we got here, just to bring you up to speed. This church officially started in 1942. Our name in those days was Open Bible Church. And when the church started, there were 12 people, and half of them were the pastor's family. Some of those first meetings were in the Odd Fellows Hall. Isn't that appropriate for Christians to be meeting in the Odd Fellows Hall? That is where the Dairy Barn is now. That's where the Odd Fellows Hall stood, and we rented those facilities and met there until we outgrew that particular space. Then the church purchased a house on South Clay Street in Greenville and made some renovations and had seating for 75 people with a few rooms for the Bible school, as they called it in those days. I have seen pictures of that, and when you sat in that church, a lot of people that sat in those rooms couldn't see the pulpit. They couldn't see the pastor because the rooms, you know, there were load-bearing walls. You couldn't just knock them all out. So you sat in a room and then you listened around the corner while the kids were in the back room someplace. It was not an ideal context or situation. Eventually, that building became too small, so the church bought property at the corner of Luray and Dodge Streets and held services in the basement of that building on the first Sunday of July in 1950. You can see the pictures on the wall out here in our Connect space. If you go that way and keep looking to your right, you'll see a thing that says Our Story Continues, and there's pictures of those particular buildings and what it looked like in those days. In February of 1954, the church changed its name to Calvary Baptist Church. The church continued to grow. 6 years later, the educational addition was dedicated to the Lord's work and for his glory. That was in 1960, and I wasn't even born yet. We still own that particular building, and we now call it Midtown. When you hear us refer to Midtown, that's our facility in town. Our student ministries use that building on Wednesday nights during the school year, and we also have early release lunch and Bible study there during the school year. That building is in a strategic location. It's only 3 blocks from the high school. Prime location, I think, for reaching that particular segment of our population. We'll likely keep it, though we don't know that for sure. We won't have plans right now to get rid of it, I can say that. It seems like its location and the opportunities that we have here mean it's a good opportunity for us. We don't exactly know, but it wasn't designed for youth ministry. We know that. That wasn't its primary design. And so because of its design, it's somewhat limited for our current context. And the limitations limit some of our opportunities as well. As a church, we've had our ups and downs over the years, but we always maintain the mission. And maintaining the mission resulted in growth, and growth requires change. Over the years, at the Midtown property, when we were still there, we redesignated rooms. We redesigned the rooms that could be redesigned. We started having 2 services. That was a big shift. And I won't go through all the details of that particular transition, but we did it. And then we bought the empty lot that was west of Midtown for additional parking. And in the process of all that, we were designing plans for an addition for that particular site in Greenville. We worked on those plans for about 6 or 7 years. One day, one of our elders called me, because one of our deacons had called him. And in a 24-hour period of time, we were given a piece of land, and this piece of property that we're on right now came up for sale. And that deacon and that elder thought that we should pause our plans for what we were going to do in town. And I cried. I didn't say, yeah! I said, oh no. Because we'd worked so hard on everything that was supposed to happen there, and then it just seemed like, you know, we were pushing a rock up a hill just to let it roll back down again. And it was hard. But we prayed. And we sold the land, and we bought this piece of property that we're sitting on right now. We asked lots of questions. We considered the possibilities. We prayed some more. In October of 2007, The people who had built that building and painted it and supported it and lived in it and taken ownership of it voted to leave it and to move out here. And the vote to move out here and to build was 100%. I mean, for Baptists, that's like crossing the Red Sea. That is a miraculous sort of experience. I still remember just staring at the ballots like, are you serious? You know, yeah. And then, because nobody was building, that was the beginning of the Great Recession, we had builders stacked up. We had people that wanted to work. They couldn't find work anywhere else. And so in 6 months, we built this building. And our first service here in 2008 was Mother's Day in May. During the beginning of the Great Recession, we had our first service. It was our DNA. To move, to change, to grow. From the Odd Fellows Hall to a hayfield. People were willing to embrace significant change for mission, for God's glory, and for all of you. Now, the building didn't cause our growth, but not having a building would have limited the growth. And because we're healthy, and because we were healthy, we desired to grow. 18 years ago, those folks embraced major change for the sake of mission. They decided to remove the obstacles that would hinder us from building the building that occupies the building. It's the building inside the building that's the most important. You are God's building. You are God's field. We are God's building, God's field. But when that building grows, one way of responding to that growth is to increase the footprint or the exoskeleton, you might say. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, of course, he did not mean buildings. When he said, I will build my church, he was not talking about a building, but it is a physical building that often facilitates the growth of the building, of the people within it. In 2008, when we moved out here, we had one service at 9:30. We had Sunday school at 11 o'clock. This room actually had 8 classrooms all around the perimeter. For those of you that have only been here since our second renovation, there were classrooms that came all the way around this particular room. We, within 1 year, ended up going back to 2 services. We experimented with a number of educational options and service times. In 2015, because of healthy growth, we started planning for more growth. So we expanded this room by taking out all the classrooms, and we built the north wing, and we built the children's wing, and we completed that project in the fall of 2018. That it was in our DNA to do this. Last summer, due to a growing nursery and the number of children that were in our children's program, we made adjustments. And those adjustments made more room for children and less opportunity for adults. Today, we have every usable space in this facility is occupied for ministry during both morning services. Every space. We've reached the limits, you might say, of our exoskeleton once again. There are many things that threaten the health and the growth of the church. The most likely threat to us right now is complacency. Good enough. We're debt-free. We have money in the bank. Let's just take it easy. I mean, let people find another church. Why do we have to have them? The definition of complacency is self-satisfaction, smugness, good enough. Now, of course, some might say, well, more is just an American prosperity ideal. Bigger is not always better. And I would be the first to say, true. That's exactly right. Being bigger for bigger's sake is not always better. However, we do believe that our Father wants every seat at His table occupied. He desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we are here as a church to share the gospel and to develop followers of Jesus for life. I don't think it's in our DNA to say, well, Lord, we'll take a pass on reaching more people for you. So, today is Vision Sunday. And this is primarily about a vision for ministry, a vision for outreach and a vision for developing followers of Jesus for life. We made some decisions back in January of 2023, but I say we, I mean our board, talking about what we might do to expand this facility, to bring our teens here from Midtown and to centralize ministry, and we've talked about a lot of alternatives. We've talked about church planting. We've talked about revitalization of existing churches. We've talked about creative use of schedule and facilities. And we have talked about expansion. We had a set of plans a couple of years ago. Some of our early expansion plans had to be scrapped. The costs were just too high. And so we redesigned spaces again with multi-use spaces in mind. We've sought a lot of outside counsel to help us with this. We've had help with master planning. We've had help with our finances and help with staffing. And after 3.5 years of working through all these things, it seems like we're at a point where we need to talk about this as a family. This is a family chat, you might say, to think these things through. We're healthy and growing, and because we're healthy, we should desire to reach more people. But we are facing some limitations. There's a capacity limitation. As I said, every usable space in this building is in use in both morning services. Limited capacity means limited opportunity. We have more opportunities for children and teens and adult ministries that we could embrace if we had the facility to do it. So what is the project? Well, let me say this, that this is for us, and it's also for the people that we've not yet reached. It's both. It's a blessing to us, and it'll be a blessing to our community. Ultimately, this project is about building the building that occupies the building. And we hope that you'll see this as more of a ministry vision than necessarily a vision for a building. Now, you're going to see some pictures here eventually, and I want to just tell you that these pictures are artist renderings of interior spaces that have ministry in mind. They may not be this size. When you look at these pictures, think about that warning on your mirror, on the car that says objects may appear larger than they are in actuality. You can think about it like that. We're not guaranteeing that these interior spaces are going to look just like this, but we want you to see what a ministry might look like in this particular context. So this is in order of priority now, okay? First of all, more space for children. We are at or nearing capacity in nursery through teenagers. A couple of weeks ago, that Sunday that I wasn't preaching, but I was still here, I had the chance to teach Sunday school class over there. And if you want to experience it, just go up there sometime during the 9:30 hour. It's jam-packed up there in the north wing between teens and then at the second hour for children. Because we had outgrown our children's area, we moved our third to fifth grade students from the children's wing over to the north wing. And that was because we moved our 2 to 5-year-olds from the nursery to the children's area. Y'all are having a lot of babies. Thank you very much. But, they displace other people. And so we keep kind of moving around to try to accommodate to all this fruitfulness, if you will. This arrangement is, in fact, working as a temporary solution. But we'd like to have all our elementary age children in a dedicated children's area. That would provide age-based discipleship, and it would provide enhanced security for our children. And, very honestly, we'd like that north wing back for adult education and for teen use. I want to show you a graph here. This has been our growth since 2022, and you'll notice the blue line or the blue bar is our AM worship attendance. And by the way, we actually grew again during the second quarter of this year, which includes summer, which is very unusual for our AM worship. But our education is sort of flatlining, you might see it. It hovers between 200 and 250 people in the Sunday school or education hour. Now, why is that? Because we don't have any more room. That number is never going to go up. We could have an overflow, you know, for this particular service, then lose more education space. So that number is going to stay the same. That education number is not going to be able to move, while at least on Sunday mornings, as we are currently construed. With an addition and a new paradigm of teaching, we could almost double the number of children that we're reaching on Sunday mornings. And we could reclaim that north wing for adult education. Secondly, we're talking about activity space for teens. The school year is mostly during inclement weather. And large spaces for activity, for outreach, and for building teen community is lacking. A multi-use activity space would provide a better format for this. This would be a gym-like area, which would also be useful to our children's ministry. It would be used by our teens throughout the week, and it could double as an additional educational space on Sunday mornings. We also see this space as a go space to facilitate outreach throughout the week, even in those winter months in Michigan when the snow is blowing and it's very cold. Third, a multi-use chapel that would seat about 200 people. This could be used for overflow on Sunday mornings. If we outgrow two services in this particular room, we'd rather not do a third. And having an overflow, I would rather not do a third. And I don't think I'm alone in that, but a chapel would provide a spot for overflow. It would also provide a number of other useful things for teen ministry on Wednesday nights, for men's and women's ministry throughout the week. It could also be used for occasional weddings and funerals as a little smaller venue and for other ministry opportunities as they arise. Number four, renovation of the infant nursery for additional adult education space. If we do build out that way, we're going to lose a little bit of space, so we'll have to replace it someplace. And the current infant nursery could be used for education spaces. We're calling it, just to be cute, the Fireside Family Education Space. Don't you love that? Where's the fireplace? Oh, yeah, over there. And one of you will be commissioned to bring wood. Number five, office space. That could be added at a fairly minimal cost in room 102, which is the large room over here on the south hall. This building was designed for a staff of four or five, and we currently have a staff of 18. So that is, a need. Now, an overview map will help you kind of see adjacent areas. The blue spots are renovated spots. That's the infant nursery down here and offices in 102. The new things that we're talking about would be on the north end, and that's in the purple or whatever that color is called. Over there to the right. So chapel out this way toward the parking lot, multi-use space to the north, and then connected to the children's area, an expanded children's space. At some point, we're probably going to have to talk about parking. Renovation and expansion of the existing lot will have to be discussed at some point. Renovation, because the lot's almost 20 years old. We started with a parking lot half this size, and we keep adding pieces on it, and it's not hard to figure out where we added it. Drive slowly. Unless you want to find the seams, then drive quickly, and you'll find those spots. As we expand the number of seats in the church, we also need to expand the number of spaces to park. And perhaps you noticed from the drone footage on that video how full the lot is. And many of you experience that. When I get here, there's hardly any cars in the lot. And when I leave, there's hardly any cars in the lot. But for those of you that are wheeling in here in the last moments, you know what it's like. Now, you might still be asking, why this project and why now? And so I'm glad you're asking that, because I have 10 reasons. Number one, because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And he desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And there are a lot more people that need the life-giving message of the gospel and the teachings of Jesus for life. People are still moving to Greenville. And whether you know this or not, even though we're in the middle of a hayfield, we have 100,000 people within a 20-minute drive of our church. Two new housing developments are being built. Our population demographic is trending upward, not downward. Greenville is on the up and up. We even have a Jersey Mike's. I mean, how much better can it get than that? Number two, because we're his people. And we are here for his purposes, for his glory, and for his mission. We're not simply here for our own comfort, ease, and enjoyment. We're here on purpose. Collectively, we have a purpose for being here in this particular space. Number three, because we're healthy and growing. And where there is health, there should be a desire to grow. Number four, because a property like this, with facilities like this, and facilities like we're talking about, mean we can continue to be more than a one-day-a-week site. I know one of the things that people often push back on in building programs is, well, that's an awful lot of money for one day a week. Well, we're actually here a lot more than one day a week, and there's a lot more going on here than just one day a week already. And a facility like this would mean far more than one day a week. Sports ministries, homeschool groups, ministry to our community. These are all opportunities for sharing the gospel and developing more followers of Jesus for life. Number five, because children matter to God. The most fruitful time to get the gospel to someone is before the age of 18. Statistically, over 80% of all Christians accept Christ before the age of 18. We've been talking about our camp experiences, you know, all the kids that get saved at camp. We talked about Vacation Bible School and all the kids that get saved at Vacation Bible School. And it's not just, you know, getting converts, of course. The week of senior high camp I did, they have this testimony time at the end of the week. 25 of the kids that gave testimonies had been having suicidal thoughts before they came to camp. 25! Friends, we have a serious mental health problem in this country. And it's not limited to people that are 20 and over. A lot of it is 20 and under. And we have a message to bring to them. We have a means of helping them survive the enemy's attacks on their lives. Now, of course, I want to say to you that if you're over 18 and you're late to the party, you could get saved today. Ha! Yes! Maybe you say, well, I didn't get saved when I was under 18, and I still don't even know what you're talking about. Then I would love to talk to you. I would far more talk to you about your soul than I would about this building. And if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, you don't know that you have a relationship with God, we are here for that. And this is the most important thing. Number six, because our adult education and life group potential is currently maxed. I showed you that chart earlier. We'd really like to add a college age and singles class. Our 1829 group meets now on Sunday evenings, but we'd love to have a class for them in the morning. We'd love to have a newly married class. You know, we've had a lot of young couples lately, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but that first year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, are often pretty tough. And it'd surely be nice to have a newly married class to help the continued discipleship. We'd also like to have some space for life groups on Sunday morning. This would facilitate developing followers of Jesus for life, but we're currently just out of room. And for many people, the only time their schedule allows meetings like that is Sunday morning. I know we have other, and we have very important ministries that are meeting. I think about Base Camp for men, and I think about Selah for women. These are very important, very powerful. But sometimes people have Sunday morning, and that's all they have. That doesn't even bring into the idea of Embrace Grace, which is a ministry to single moms and Embrace Life. You know, there's 1,000 single moms within a 20-minute radius of our church. Yeah, a whole demographic that Embrace Grace and Embrace Life are meeting the needs of. Number seven, because we want to provide this broken, desperate, and biblically illiterate culture with sound teaching. An interesting Gallup poll from a few years ago revealed fewer than 50% of adults could name the four Gospels. 60% of adults could not name even 5 of the 10 Commandments. 50% of high school graduates thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. And if you're like, they're not, then you're in the right place. And this is my favorite. Some thought Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Some of you will not get that until this afternoon. Make sure of that. Now, that's the sort of lighthearted stuff, but what riches are people missing from the Word of God? We have the means and the message to help people know the love of God, His truth, and the life that comes from living in harmony with it. Number eight, because our outreach efforts are limited to outdoor options. A gym-like space would afford us new opportunities for outreach to children, teens, and adults. Go is one of our core values. Inviting people to follow Jesus often begins with an invitation to do life together. This space would provide some opportunity for that. Number nine, because construction costs are not going down, they're going up. And through sound budgeting and sacrificial giving and wise use of debt, we can try to get ahead of this inflation. We should also remember there's a cost to not doing something. A cost in people not reached, a cost in opportunities missed. And so it's worth asking in this whole process, what will not doing something cost us? And finally, number 10, because we're healthy. I'm healthy. I'm committed to this mission, whatever the future holds. We have momentum as a church. We're debt-free. We have a present need for space, and we have a lot of opportunities. And so it appears to us that the timing is right to inquire of you what you think about next steps and what you think about our place in this community. How much might this little project cost? Well, $4.5 to $5 million is our lid. All right, that's the max. Our consultant, we've been consulting with Bill Walter of Church Growth Services. He helped us through phase two, which was the North Wing and the children's area. We asked him about this particular thing. He said, that's a reasonable amount, given our church size, given our budget, given what we've been able to do in the past, that this ought to be our lid. We prepared some initial designs with the bubble diagram that you saw up there, and we did obtain some real estimates from the construction company that built our first two phases here. We downsized the overall project to fit that number. That amount also includes some parking lot work as well. So today is the first step in a pre-campaign assessment. This assessment is a means of measuring our desire, number one, to do something. What's our desire as a church? We, by the way, Calvary Baptist Church operates under congregational government, which means this is not just a decision of the elders or the board. This is a church matter. And so this pre-campaign assessment is a means of measuring our desire. And second, a means of measuring our financial capacity to do this wisely. We're counting the cost that we might move forward with wisdom and sound stewardship. How would we pay for this particular building and this phase? Well, currently we have about $700,000 in cash that would be available for the building. That's so far. We'd like to raise the balance in a three-year capital campaign. If we had commitments for that amount, we'd start to build only when you vote to do so. We'd be open to borrowing, but if we borrow, we've also been counseled to keep our debt below $1.5 million. That would make the debt serviceable, given our church size and budget, so that debt doesn't limit ministries or personnel. We've watched this happen in a number of different situations where the debt just strangles the church, and we don't want to be in that situation. Just for a bit of history again, we paid off our mortgage for phase one in December of 2017, after just 9 years. We paid off our mortgage for phase two in November of 2023. That was after just 5 years. And that was even after the mess with COVID. So what's next? Well, tonight at 6 p.m. in the Connect area, we're going to have tables set up out here in the Connect space and in the children's area. And that is for small group feedback forums. We want to hear from you. We're inviting you to come back tonight and share with us your questions, your concerns, your optimism, or your pessimism, whatever. We really want to hear from you. At every table, there'll be a facilitator. At every table, there'll be a recorder. And this is going to be your opportunity to ask questions. You're not going to get a lot of answers tonight because we want to hear from you. We want to hear what your questions are. Maybe we haven't articulated this clearly enough. Maybe there's still too much gray space. You're like, what in the world is he even talking about? Odd fellows. I have no idea who he is talking about except for him. But anyway, what is all this? What's happening with all of this? So we want you to help us out with that. We'll also be doing an anonymous congregational survey regarding your interest and what you believe your capacity might be financially to help in this. We realize not everybody has the same capacity, but we want to see what's happening. And then all the information from tonight, from these groups, and from the survey will go to our consultant. He's also going to do some surveys in August and September with leaders and with members and with various attendees. Really what we're doing here is this. How much house can we afford? You know, when you're thinking about buying a home, you're saying, how much can we do? And so you probably went to somebody to ask you that question, and that's what we're trying to assess here. We don't want to restrict ministry in the future. We want to open it up, but we also don't want to kill ourselves financially in the process. After assessing this overall capacity and desire, our consultant will give us a yellow light, a green light, or a red light. The yellow light means, better be careful. The red light means, stop! Some of you are like, oh, is that what that means? I didn't know that. But I just saved you a ticket right there. And of course, the green light means, you know, go. Take the next step anyway with your congregation. If we have the green light, we'll finish the design of an expansion that fits the recommended budget. And it might be more or less facility than what we've mentioned today based on that assessment. Finally, upon board recommendation, we would then vote as a church about whether we should begin a capital campaign and when to begin construction. A couple of weeks ago, a woman was here that shared her testimony with me. She got saved when she was 4 years old at the Midtown Church. She and her family were attending there at the time. That was in 1960. So some of you are doing the math right now about how old she was. And she had not been back since her family left town. She got saved at the Midtown site. She's now a retired missionary. And she lived in Florida, and she happened to be back up in this area. She said, I'm going to go up to Greenville and go back to Calvary Baptist Church. Well, that's a little different than it was in 1960. And she just said, wow! It's interesting, you know, how when you see your niece or nephew that you haven't seen for 10 years? And when last time you saw them, they were this big, and now they're this big. That's the experience that she had. She has been here through all the stuff. She got to see this growth and this change. And she was so grateful for the ministry of this church and to her family during those years. She was also impressed at what God has done here since then. And that's just been our DNA. Where there's health, there's growth. And where there's health, there should be a desire for more impact to the broken world around us. Our story continues, and the trajectory of that story is on us right now. Since 1942, God has been faithful to lead and to provide, and we are continuing to look to Him. Do we wait, like we did from 2000 to 2007, or do we move ahead with further expansion? I will tell you this, we have a vision for ministry either way. A vision to develop followers of Jesus for life. On your way out today, we have a brochure that reminds you of the things we talked about this morning, and we want you to just take that and pray with us. We'd like to have one per family, if we could, and if you're a brochure passer-outer, I don't even know how to say that right, could you go to your spot right now? Just go ahead and go. If you're passing out brochures, could you go take your take your spot at the door. And then if you're watching online, this brochure is also available online. If you go to our website and you go to the banner that says Vision Sunday and you click on that banner, this brochure will pop up for you there as well. So if you're watching online, weren't able to get here today, you can get the brochure from there. So I do invite you to come back tonight so we can hear your concerns, your questions, and hopefully some insights that will help us as we seek God's will for our future ministry to the church now and to the people outside our walls and to the people in generations yet to come. Someone has said, where there is a why, there will be a how. And I think we have the why. The question is, how will we proceed? Will you stand with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness over all these years to this church family. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst right now. And thank you that our future is in your hands. And so I pray that you would lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us as a church family. Lead us as a body to what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. We know that we're here for your purposes. We know that we're here that you might be glorified and exalted. We know that we're here to share the gospel and to develop followers of Jesus for life. And so however that looks in whatever particulars, I pray that you'd lead us clearly with unity and with joy and with a sense of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.